More Idaho Matters right now. It's time to grab your fishing poles because late last week, the Boise River got a little more crowded as nearly 300 Chinook salmon were released into the water. And tomorrow, Idaho Fish and Game will be adding even more fish to the river. So joining us today to talk more about the salmon and what anglers can expect this fishing season are Brian Pearson, Southwest Regional Communications Manager, and Regional Conservation Officer Matt O'Connell. Welcome to the program.
Hi, Gemma.
Thanks, Gemma.
So this is the first time in, what, 5 years that Chinook salmon have been released into the river. Why is that?
Yeah, Jim, this is Brian. I'll take that one. Ultimately, it comes down to availability of fish. Do we have a surplus of hatchery Chinook available? And even when we have a surplus available, there's multiple different outlets that those fish can still go towards, such as recycling fish through downriver fisheries if they're still open. Tribal distribution for ceremonial and subsistence purposes, outplanting fish to spawn naturally, and distributing fish to food banks. And finally, like we're seeing here, outplanting fish to provide additional fisheries.
So, Brian, where did the fish come from for this season?
Yeah, Gemma, these fish all came from our Rapid River hatchery, which is just south of Riggins.
And how long has that hatchery been around?
Rapid River opened in 1964, and initially it was an experimental facility for raising spring Chinook salmon, steelhead, and fall Chinook salmon. These days, it is the largest spring Chinook salmon facility in the state, and we produce about 3 million salmon smolts annually for release into the Salmon and Snake River basins.
So, Matt, what kind of salmon did the release include? I mean, are these big fish? What can people expect?
So, Gemma, they're Chinook salmon, and tomorrow's group is probably going to be heavily weighted toward jack salmon, which we define as a salmon that's under 24 inches in length. They've spent 1 year in the ocean growing to that size. And then the rest of the fish can be up to 3 feet long and longer than that some of the time and can be pushing 20 pounds in weight. So we're talking some pretty majestically big fish.
And why put them in the Boise River, Matt?
It's a great opportunity. We have a lot of anglers down here in the Treasure Valley that maybe could not make it up to the Little Salmon River or the South Fork. And it kind of provides a unique opportunity right in the backyard of many, many people to enjoy something different and something new on a hot summer day.
So, Matt, where on the river can folks fish? Because I see, I mean, I'm on the Greenbelt a lot, and I see like a lot of, you know, fly fishermen, that type of thing, people like right in the river fishing. Can you fish off the banks? I mean, I don't mean to sound uneducated, but I don't fish, so I'm curious.
No, primarily people are fishing off the banks. We do see some of the floaters taking a spin casting rod with them. But for the salmon, it's pretty much going to be from the Glenwood Bridge on up to Barber Park. And there's no big secret. I mean, people know where we release the fish. It's Glenwood and the Americana Bridge and then Park Center right behind our headquarters and then Barber Park as well.
Okay, so just find a place along the banks and you can fish right along that area.
Yes.
So, Brian, we know that salmon are special and you need a special permit to fish for Chinook. So I'm assuming people need to get that, but are there other rules that folks should be aware of?
Yeah, Gemma, I'm actually going to let Matt go ahead and answer this one.
Okay.
One of the issues that we did run into this past weekend, we do now have the ability for our hunters and anglers to buy items online, and they can show us their phone to show that they have purchased a fishing license or hunting license. But the really key thing with a salmon is that they have to have a paper permit because we do require that they notch a tag similar to when you kill a deer or an elk and put down the date and the river code. So I have people showing me their phone that they had indeed purchased a salmon permit, but you can't validate them on the phone yet. We may be headed toward that in future years, but for now, people really need to have that hard copy permit in hand.
And Matt, why is this such a big deal for folks to have that paper permit? But as you said, I mean, kind of like how you have to tag a deer, that you would do the same thing if you catch a Chinook.
Right. It basically signifies your ownership of that fish that you've harvested legally and kind of puts you on record, because we're avoiding people getting greedy and catching two fish, which is the daily bag limit, and then coming back later in the day. So if people are doing it the right way and validating their fish, it's kind of a check and balance for us to make sure people are in compliance.
And how unusual is it for you to have these extra fish available for anglers, Brian?
Well, Jim, I mean, it's been 5 years, and mm-hmm. It'll largely depend on what surplus brood, what fish we have that are surplus to our broodstock needs in the future. So it's not necessarily a common thing, and it's not something that we can project out in the future, but it's certainly an opportunity to enjoy when we do get it.
Well, it's so exciting. I mean, I'm thinking about, I have my youngest has been, you know, wanting to fish so badly, and I'm like, oh, this is great. We can just like go down the street and do it. But it is something that it seems to be unusual with the Boise River, Brian. I mean, as we said, it's been 5 years.
Yeah, it's not a regular thing. It's something that when we do have that opportunity, everybody should take that opportunity, take advantage, and come out and enjoy it.
And Brian, you do stock a lot of different fish, right, in rivers all over the state. So where else can folks find fish?
Yeah, so I would actually direct folks. We have a wonderful resource on our website. It's called the Idaho Fishing Planner. There are historical stocking records. There are stocking forecasts for various different species. And it's a fantastic resource for anglers to use and a really powerful tool. I couldn't even begin to describe all of the different places that we stock fish, Gemma. But we do stock quite a bit, and things do slow down a little bit this time of year with our hatchery rainbow program just because of the hot weather. But we are stocking fish in parts of the state, particularly at higher altitudes. And once again, that fishing planner will direct folks to exactly where those fish are going.
So, Matt, how long will folks have to be able to fish in the Boise River with you guys putting fish in there? Is there a time limit?
For the salmon opportunity, I don't believe we have a closed date. The fish are going to die eventually if they're not caught. They're in spawning mode right now, mm-hmm. so they're pretty much programmed to go upstream as far as they can. But, of course, the river chemistry is different between the Boise River drainage and the Little Salmon River and Rapid River where they came from. But yeah, so the fish will start to kind of have their natural wind down process. They spawn and then they die. And so the possibility of seeing some Chinook carcasses along the Boise River banks, and it just all adds to the overall health of the river system. Mm.
And before I let you go, I only have about a minute left, but Matt, you're going to be releasing more fish tomorrow, right? How many are you planning on releasing?
About 300 again.
Wow. Okay. So this is a great opportunity for folks to get out there and I think really enjoy the river and take this opportunity to fish. Thank you both so much for coming in and talking to us about this.
Thank you, Gemma.
You're very welcome.
Thanks so much for listening to Idaho Matters. Boise State Public Radio and Idaho Matters are members of the NPR network. It's an independent coalition of public media podcasters. You can find more shows in the network wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Gemma Gaudette. We'll see you tomorrow.
From an Iraq war cover-up to towns ravaged by opioids to the roots of our modern immigration crisis, Embedded explores what's been sealed off and undisclosed. NPR's original investigative podcast reveals why these stories and the people behind them matter. Listen to the Embedded podcast, only from NPR.